Welcome. You're listening to Ask the Doulas, a podcast where we talk to experts from all over the country about topics related to pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and early parenting. Let's chat.
Hello, this is Kristen with Ask the Doulas, and I am so excited to chat with Jackie Viscusi today. She's one of our new sleep consultants at Gold Coast Doulas. Welcome, Jackie.
Hi, Kristen. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So this whole concept for the podcast came about when we were chatting about misconceptions surrounding sleep consulting and not wanting the cry it out methods. So there are so many different methods, as you know, as a certified sleep consultant. And so let's chat a bit about what you hear from clients as far as resistance to implementing a customized sleep plan.
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, I like to clarify that sleep training does not have to be aligned with cry it out. I think people just like associate them as being one and the same. And sleep training, I'm like not even a huge fan of the phrase because it kind of like sounds like training a dog.
And exactly.
You know, while it is like it's behavior modification and we do that with dogs and animals, smart ones. But I think with our babies, it's like we definitely want to have like more of a gentler approach with them. We don't want to like frame it like they're robots. I do this, then you do this. So I think cry it out, it's while it is can be very effective, it's definitely a more kind of aggressive approach. It's definitely something that I would kind of lean towards being more of a last resort. And I just think getting the family on board with practicing healthy sleep hygiene as kind of as early as you can after the kind of you're in survival mode, right? For the first
time. Right.
Like we all just have to like kind of all in it together at that point. Like we've all been there. But you know, around like 4, 5, 6 months, you start seeing patterns and you start kind of realizing, okay, this sleep deprivation is really getting to me. Like I need to start taking care of myself again. And like, while bonding with your child is totally natural and all of that I promote in my practice, you might want to start kind of weaning them into more of a independent sleep pattern and possibly sleeping in their own room, their own crib. And just fostering those sleep habits early will take you a long way and possibly prevent you from having to do cry it out in the first place.
Yes. So as a mom of two, I'm guessing your own journey to becoming a sleep consultant started with sleep habits and wanting to really make a change in your own household, correct?
Yes. I kind of struggled with postpartum depression and anxiety. And I found with my first one that she was really strong-willed and just really kind of, I guess I don't like to call it a bad sleeper because they're babies and there's no good and bad, but she definitely wanted my help and she wanted the attachment with me and was waking up multiple times a night. And so we started around 8, 9 months because we kind of got to a breaking point and we were like, I can't function during the day. Like I'm definitely getting more depressed. And my husband is like a really supportive partner, but even he was cracking. And I just felt like I wasn't able to be a very present mom. Like I was just kind of a walking zombie and I wasn't even really able to enjoy her the way that I had hoped I would be able to at that point. So for me, sleep was vital and I didn't realize how much the sleep deprivation was exacerbating my anxiety and depression until I got help for it. Then when I got help for it, I really was kind of like night and day for us. We did a modified Ferber approach, which I'm happy to go into the different methods, but that was the one that we went with. And it's kind of a gentler Ferber, but we saw such great results from that. I was like forever grateful to our sleep consultant. And then by the time my second one came around, I was fascinated by sleep and I've always kind of been fascinated by sleep. My mom has a narcolepsy. So like, there's just always kind of been a level of importance of sleep in our family that like, I feel like is sometimes underappreciated in our society, how much we need rest to restore, yes, right? And recharge and be able to do all the amazing things we're able to do as parents. So by the time my second one came along, I was able to become certified and did it in tandem with kind of sleep training or modifying the sleep behavior that I needed to. And I was able to do a much gentler approach on her based off of my learnings, based off age, based off of sleep associations, and just being mindful of kind of what I was doing along the way. So yes, that's kind of my story.
So I would love for you to get into some of the other methods for sleep consulting other than cry it out, Ferber.
Right. So I'm a big fan of fading. There's a fading method where you essentially, you know, you kind of start slow. So you don't expect any like huge changes to happen. It is a little bit more of a gradual approach. Whereas the other cry it out or Ferber, you may see improvements in like 2 to 3 days. And this could be more of like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but you'll see improvements earlier than that. But for it to really take effect, it does take a little bit longer. So I just like to tell parents, some people are really kind of coming to me and it's like SOS, I need help right away. But the fading method is great because you're just gradually transitioning them into their own space and you're peeling back kind of like layer by layer their dependence on you as a caregiver. So what does that mean? That means maybe you're spending 20 minutes rocking them to sleep. Well, slowly you just cut back that time. And then slowly you try to separate time between feeding and sleeping because a lot of babies like nuzzle up to with a nice warm glass of milk or
right
breast or bottle. So you want to just start maybe unlatching them a little bit and seeing if they can fall asleep just on your arms. And maybe as you're rocking, you go from 20 minutes to 10 minutes to maybe just 5 minutes a night. And you don't rock like as intensely. So they kind of almost don't even realize that they're transitioning or you're fading your association with them, their dependence on you over time. And that worked really well with my second one to the point where I was able to just put her down and she really very, very minimal fussing. So that's one method. There's a lot to that. I like to give people a full plan, a full just sleep schedule to abide by, being mindful of wake windows and age. But that's one main approach that I like to use as a technique. And I like the chair method a lot, which is...
What is that?
So that is staying close to your baby. So it's really good when you're trying to get them to sleep in their own crib, but maybe they just recently came out of your room and you're not quite, they just have not adapted yet to their own space. So obviously before all this, you want to start seeing if they can nap in that new space and just getting them familiar with the space and area so it's not too new to them. And then at night, basically lie them in the crib awake. People say drowsy, but awake. And that is a good rule of thumb, but sometimes you don't even really need to wait until they're all that drowsy because you also don't want them to be too overtired. So you kind of find like a nice sweet spot. And I like to guide parents towards that by looking at a sleep log, identifying any issues, identifying, oh, okay, I think they're overtired here, or, oh, actually they're kind of growing out of this wake window and we need to start looking more at like the clock and timing and their natural rhythm, their natural cardiac rhythms. And so you lie them in the crib and there's different kind of techniques or approaches. I like to continue having the hand on the baby. So through the crib, you take a chair, you sit right down next to the crib and you put your hand on them and you pat them, pat their bum if they can be on their tummies, or you pat their tummy nicely and shush. Obviously, you know, blackout curtains, sound machine, all the kind of goods will set them up for success. And then slowly after a couple days, you move the chair further and further away from the crib until you're back into the door. And then you open the door, sit in the hallway. After a few days of that, then kind of just gradually kind of see yourself out and they will just slowly start to adapt to that new environment. So, yeah.
So it's very customized from what you're saying based on family's unique parenting style and yes, needs and even the household environment.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, you know, for some families, like they have another small kid or toddler or baby that's, you know, sleeping in the hallway across. So they don't want to hear a lot of fussing. So I try to do minimal tears, but if they fuss a little bit, there are things you can do, like have a sound machine out in the hallway so that it doesn't wake up the other little one that you have sleeping. Sometimes, like, but with fussing, that can be ways that they are soothing themselves. And so you kind of do have to be careful not to go in right away. Or if, like, let's say you're doing the chair, they might protest a little bit once you get out of sight. That's kind of a bigger step for them. But you do want to let them kind of try to work it out just a little bit for a few minutes. And a lot of the times they'll surprise you. And that sound that kind of sounded like baby crying turns into more of like a humming, or just sometimes they sing to themselves. And so they'll kind of, you'll start to recognize, oh, okay, they're starting to put themselves to sleep now. Change. And you're like, yes, it's happening.
And some clients we work with as postpartum doulas will like respond to tiniest of cues or want us to. And so That's really good information to share, that making different noises is not necessarily a bad thing, and self-soothing can be very beneficial.
Absolutely. And I kind of liken it to a bit of safety boundaries, you know, if you will. I think like there are times, I actually just this morning with my 1-year-old, she's learning how to walk. And she past few weeks, she's just been zipping all around, and it's new and fun and exciting for her. And she gets kind of mad when she has to go back in the car seat. I would like to keep practicing this new cool thing. I don't know about you, but I'm learning a lot by doing this, and I don't want to be confined in the car seat, right? So when I put her in there, like sometimes she fusses and kind of fights me on it. But it's one of those things where if I gave in to every little time she fussed, it's like, hey, you're the parent. You know what's best for them. And I'm going to buckle you in because that's the safest thing, right? And so if your family is really, really struggling with sleep deprivation and you're not able to like drive safely, you're not able to like function very well, you're forgetting everything, you've got that fog times 10 because your body is not allowing itself to replenish and restore. I mean, you lose memory, focus, cognitive functioning. I mean, there's just so much that goes on with sleep deprivation. So at a certain point, sometimes it does become a safety issue for families. So I like to just kind of reinforce the notion of this is a bit of a safety boundary. You know that if they're in their crib, and if you have safety proofed it, which I always do with all my clients, go through all the what not to have in the crib, which is basically nothing.
Right.
And if they're in there in a safe environment, they're going to be okay. And they're safer in there oftentimes than in other places where, no shaming, but parents will fall asleep with them sometimes, or
have them in the car seat still sleeping because they don't want to wake them.
Exactly. So for some people, it's really hard to hear. Actually, for all people, it's hard to hear babies fuss. But I think starting to learn that some protesting, that's different than extreme crying where they're in a lot of distress. Some protesting is them not crying even. It's just the only way they know how to express themselves. It's like a dog barking. Like there's different types of barks, right? And sometimes you're like, oh, that's an excited bark. Sorry. And for babies, I think, oh gosh, now I'm comparing them to dogs again in training. But you know,
but it is similar. Yes. You get to know your pet as well as your infant.
And your baby's cries and protests. And a lot of the times they're just doing that because they're mad. You're changing things up on them. They want you to be there because the way that they're put down is the way that they want to stay asleep. So if you put them to sleep on you all the time and they fall right asleep, nuzzled into your chest, that's how they're going to want to stay asleep. And when they wake up and you're not there, it can be really disorienting for them. And so that's why they cry and they want you back in there, or they protest. But I really like to remind parents that sometimes it is not this heart-wrenching cry that we think of it. Again, this is 4 months and up. I would not ever leave a baby to even fuss really before then, because they have all these needs that you need to meet, right? But if you set them up and you're meeting their needs in every other way, except for maybe a few minutes of fussing, because you know that that's what's best for them to learn how to put themselves to sleep and sleep independently, then I kind of think that's where your parenting style starts to be shaped, to be honest. You start to say like, okay, I think I know now better. I know more than my baby. And I know right now that for our family, we need our baby to sleep in her, in their own crib, in their own room. And that's for the safety and well-being of the entire family.
Yes. Good point.
Hey, Alyssa here. I'm just popping in to tell you about our course called Becoming. Becoming a Mother is your guide to a confident pregnancy and birth, all in a convenient 6-week online program. From birth plans to sleep training and everything in between, you'll gain the confidence and skills you need for a smooth transition to motherhood. You'll get live coaching calls with Kristen and myself, a bunch of expert videos, including chiropractic care, pelvic floor physical therapy, mental health experts, breastfeeding, and much more. You'll also get a private Facebook community with other mothers going through this at the same time as you to offer support and encouragement when you need it most. And then, of course, you'll also have direct email access to me and Kristen, in addition to the live coaching calls. If you'd like to learn more about the course, you can email us at info@goldcoastdoulas.com or check it out at thebecomingcourse.com. We'd love to see you there.
So, Jackie, what's the difference between hiring a certified sleep consultant and taking a sleep course or following a method through a book or YouTube video, whatever it might be? Like, what is the benefit to investing in an expert like yourself?
Oh, that's such a good question. And it's, I can honestly answer this, like, not trying to even really sell anything. Like, I would have first of all paid so much more money to have the one-on-one service than I even paid. The gift of sleep is it's you can't even put a monetary value on it. It is so different to be able to talk with somebody. I think nowadays everything's automated and online, and you just take yourself through these rabbit holes. And then one book says this, and another book says never do this. And it's that same thing. And you're like, well, what am I supposed to do? You know? And it's so stressful. And parents are going through so much as it is in that first year, especially that just to be able, for me, I saw all those courses and stuff that you could take, and it was so overwhelming to me. I didn't want to watch another video of someone that I couldn't talk to. I had questions and I wanted answers, and I wanted them specifically tailored to my family. I wanted to be able to say, but my husband works West Coast hours, and if I put them down this early, maybe he won't even see them. How could we make this work for our family? Those things you just, can't find online or in a book. It's not as customized. And for me, it is worth every ounce of money, energy, to just be able to troubleshoot with somebody, have them make up a plan for you. All the what ifs. Well, what if they wake up at this time? Or what if they fall asleep in the car? Now what? And then you're Googling again. It is so much more efficient, in my opinion, both time and money wise. And I think that you get a much more specific, holistic, customized approach to your specific needs and your family's needs.
Exactly. Yeah. And every child is so different. I know my kids had completely different needs as far as sleep and feeding and temperaments. And so, yeah, it is great to have that customization and support. I know not only do you have individualized plans, but you also offer tech support and other communication and check-ins to see how the plan implementation is actually going.
Yeah, exactly. We do follow-up calls. I monitor the sleep log, and I really try to encourage parents to be really active on the sleep log, because I was not one of those parents that jotted down every little note and you don't want to drive yourself crazy with the hours and the number and the week window. But I think in the beginning, just like anything, right? Like if your stomach has been upset, right? Your doctor's going to tell you, you got to start to just track what you eat, because there's something going on here. And you'll probably find that, when I eat this, I feel this way. So you have something to go back to you can troubleshoot so much easier. So the sleep log will tell us, oh, you know what? I didn't even realize it, but they were awake way longer than I thought. And so it's something we can go back to and track. And that's not something you have to do forever. That's just for a week or two that we're working together. And so then we do follow-up calls. I love to check in on my families. A lot of times no news is good news. Like I'll be like, hey, you guys, everything okay over there? I'm like, oh yeah, they've been sleeping really well. Actually, do we need a follow-up call? I'm like, yeah, let's do a follow-up call. And then hey, it's a service. It's part of a package, right? But I find that having that, oftentimes parents will realize, oh, okay, I do have a lot of notes. Oh, okay, I do have what ifs. And then we go over all of that on our follow-up call.
Love it. So what is your ideal age range? I know the sleep consultants at Gold Coast, we all have different niches for the team. And so what is your starting point? And as far as getting into toddlers, what's your cutoff point?
Yeah, so I would say I have the most experience in about 5 months, 4 or 5 month olds to, I would say, the first year. But I have found a lot of success lately with toddlers, and I've just been learning a lot more, studying up on it, taking workshops with a child behavioral specialist, and it's been very interesting and very kind of fun to like nerd out on 2-year-old, 3-year-old, and 4-year-old. And their little brains are working so much differently and faster and independently than littles. So I would say I feel comfortable with all of it, but I'm expanding my practice more to toddlers.
Yes. And we certainly get just as many requests for toddler sleep as we do for infant. So in part of it is either just parents beyond exhausted and need to make a change in their household, and or they're getting ready for another. Baby, and they want to get, you know, sleep set for the toddler in order to prepare for the newborn.
Exactly. Yep. We see that a lot. Like the mom or the dad knows that there's another one coming down the pipeline, and they're like, oh my gosh, how are we going to, we've got to get this, nip this in the bud or get this under control. So I've been there, but I'm just so glad that my first one, we got her sleep under control so that, and she's such a good sleeper. Both my girls are, but she has such a strong personality. My firstborn, and I love that about her. Like she's really spicy, really strong, really, but man, she can sleep. And I think she has the personality type to potentially, like, if we hadn't have got a hold on that, I think we would have been in a much different headspace for our second one. But knowing that you can count on, from when I put her in there in her room, now in her toddler bed, till when we are ready to go get her, knowing I can count on that, like 8 to 10 hours, 10 hours, really, it just changes the ball game up, because that frees you up for this other sweet little being that you're preparing for, or that you want to prepare for in the future. So you can really focus on that newborn, because that will be so vital to your bonding there. And, but you'll kind of keep a good head on your shoulders, I think, in doing so, because you're getting sleep.
Yes. So important.
Yeah.
So any final tips for our listeners, Jackie?
I would say to trust your gut and stay consistent. So I think trusting your gut, meaning you do know your kids the best, you will be very insightful to whether something is going on with them. The other reason I really, really love sleep training is because if your baby is a good, behaviorally, your baby is doing what you think is healthiest for your family, then you know when something's wrong with them. If they're just crying and waking up all the time, you don't really know. You think maybe they're teething or they're going through, you know, a cold or a milestone. And while those things do disrupt sleep a little bit, if they're sleep trained, they'll sleep through it. It will be much less intrusive. So trusting your gut, meaning if something is off and doesn't feel right, or your baby feels sick or something's going on, at no point you intervening is that going to, one time or whatever, is going to throw everything off. So trust your gut on that. If you feel something deeply, do it. And you and I will talk through it and we'll kind of deal with that hurdle when we get to it. And then the other one is to stay consistent, which that kind of goes back and forth a little bit, but meaning when you're actually implementing the sleep training process and you're starting to see the improvements, just be careful not to slip back again. If they have a runny nose, if you see teeth coming through, that stuff aside, but if, you know, stick with the plan and trust the plan. And I think consistency, little babies and toddlers and children love routines. They love boundaries. That's where they feel the safest. So if you're if you're consistent with them, they will come to expect it and trust you. If you're not, and you're all over the place, they'll read that as well. So yeah, I would say those are the two main tips.
And that can be challenging if there are other caregivers, like grandparents involved, who may not want to necessarily follow the plan.
Yep. Exactly.
Or vacations can also be challenging.
For sure. And I think one thing I like to ask of everybody in the beginning is to print out the sleep plan and put it on the fridge, give it to your caretakers, and really just try to hammer home that you're really trying to do a thing here that's for everyone's health and well-being. So if they follow it best they can, that would be the most helpful. But some things are out of your control, or daycare. Some things are, you know, where you're going to be traveling. So don't be too hard on yourself. But I think just like explaining the bigger reason why you're doing it. Like, it's not just like, oh, I don't want to hear my baby cry, or I don't want.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's a bigger thing. It's a bigger issue. It's actually part of health and wellness. And so I think if you can get other caregivers or family members on board with that, I think that you'll see them kind of following suit a lot better.
Wonderful advice. So our listeners and clients can work with you wherever they live in the world. You happen to be in South Florida. Of course, Gold Coast is in Michigan, but we see sleep clients all over the world. So, of course, your bio is on the Gold Coast website, and we're so thankful to have you on the team and sharing your wisdom on the Gold Coast Instagram page and Facebook. So thanks for sharing all of your amazing tips with our listeners today, Jackie.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. And I'm so excited to be a part of the team and helping families. It's my main passion. So looking forward to it.
I can tell. Thank you so much and take care.
All right. Thanks. You too. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Ask the Doulas. For more information about Gold Coast Doulas, visit us on our website, goldcoastdoulas.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and give us a 5-star review. Thank you. Remember, these moments are golden.